Welcome back to Following Noah on a Stormlight Podcast. This week is episode 191, and we are entering Era 2. Man, I never thought I'd say that on this podcast. We are entering Era 2 of Mistborn. Paul, how are you?
Wow. Never been better. Super excited. I have to say, episode 191, we're staring down the barrel of 200. You know, we're so close. It feels to me like we've recorded way more than 200 times, honestly. But at the same time, it feels like we haven't. So, I don't know. But 200 episodes is quite a bit. That's a lot of weeks to go consistently here, so.
I guess I should schedule something special for episode 200.
Yes.
Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am excited for Mistborn Era 2. We physically went to Dragonsteel Convention 2022, which was the release of Lost Metal, Era 2, or the final book in Era 2. And there was just such an excitement there about Era 2. There was cosplayers all over the place in Era 2 costumes that I had no idea what they were about. People were slinging guns and weird money that I didn't understand everywhere, and there were just references flying over my head left and right. But I left that convention with just this curiosity of, man, there's a lot of excitement about those characters in that story. I really want to read it. And we were still like a year and a half away from it, but here we are a year and a half later and starting it. So I'm excited. I've carried that excitement for a year and a half. I'm ready to shout on it.
I have to add to that right quick before we get, you know, too serious about all this stuff. You know, Elliot, you make a great point. And when we were at Dragonsteel, because my experience was basically just about with Stormlight, I was expecting everyone to be there talking about Stormlight.
Yeah,
it was naive of me to assume that whenever that was the reveal for the Lost Metal. But like everyone was there dressed up and excited about this. And so that's when I was like, wow, like, you know, this isn't just about Stormlight. You know, there's a lot of other wonderful series that everyone is super excited about. So, yeah, so it's been a long time. It's been not 2 years, but a year and a half since then, right? We're just now finally starting to figure out, see what it was all about, all the hype is about. So. Hiding.
Approaching 4 years ago now is when we started this podcast, and Mistborn Era 2 was like the lowest on the list of priorities for this podcast to cover. But we are finally here, and now that we are, I'm very excited to cover Mistborn Era 2 with you guys. So let's roll intro, and then we'll get a brief summary of the prologue through chapter 2 of The Alloy of Law by Brandon Sanderson. All right, Elliot, I lied. In the outline, you have acknowledgements question. So let's cover that first, and then you can give us a summary of the actual content of the book. What do you have to talk about for the acknowledgements section?
I sometimes don't even read the acknowledgements because, I'm sorry, Brandon, but you kind of call out the same people every time in your acknowledgements, at least for the most, which, right, what? So I mean, right, you've got a good team around you who is doing a lot of work.
Emily and Isaac and Peter Ahlstrom, they need thanks every single book.
His agent and his editor and yeah. But for some reason, I did read the acknowledgements, and so before I even got to the prologue, before I even got to the maps, I had a question. And there's a question for you, Trevor, and I think it's an easy one. She said in the acknowledgements that Mistborn is three separate trilogies, or two, and this book is not part of the second trilogy.
Yes.
I'm confused.
Two separate trilogies. However, he wrote the original Mistborn trilogy. And then he goes to write Alloy of Law, enjoyed it quite a bit, so then he adds an epilogue, and then decides he wants to then write another trilogy based on these characters. So he wrote Alloy of Law as kind of a breather from Oathbringer, I think. I think he was in the middle of Oathbringer, or maybe Skyward, I don't remember. But he needed something. Brandon Sanderson talks about this a lot, where he'll write multiple series at the same time so that he can refresh his brain and keep his writing style fresh. So he'll write a Skyward book, and then he'll write a Mistborn book, and then he'll write a Stormlight book, and then he'll, you know, he tries to spread himself around so that he doesn't burn out on a series and have that reflected in his writing. So he wrote the Alloy of Law as a independent, like, almost novella. We're going to do 4 episodes on the Alloy of Law, and we're not including just kind of a formatting for you guys. We're going to do 4 episodes on the Alloy of Law, and we're not doing a wrap-up episode. We're going to go straight into We're going to go straight into book 2 of Era 2, and then we'll wrap up both of the books together after that, because Alloy of Law kind of stands on its own. But he enjoyed it so much, he's like, yeah, I want to write another trilogy about Scadrial with skyscrapers and guns. Sounds fun. So here we are, entering what was originally planned to be like a short story of like Scadrial 300 years later, but it actually turned into a series. Does that answer your question?
Kind of. I think so. I still don't know whether to call it a 4-book series or a trilogy, but
it's a 4-book series.
I'll roll with it.
Or is in the acknowledgments the Lost Metal not written yet? Is that the simple answer?
Well, so in the acknowledgments of this book, he says, I've pitched a second trilogy to my editor. This book is not part of the trilogy.
Oh.
That's what it says.
Okay. There you go.
So hence the slight confusion. But doesn't matter. There are 4 books. I bought the box set. I'm ready to go.
Summary, whenever you're ready.
All right. So we pick up the story. We jump in right into the action. But I actually kind of expected that. I got that vibe about this series, that it's going to be maybe a little more gunslinging, a little more jumping into the action, craziness perhaps. That is true of the prologue. We meet Wilkes, who is gunslinging and dodging bullets and taking down baddies and chasing down the villain and doing the gunslinger hero thing, which is pretty cool. He's building his allomancy and ferrochemy at the same time as he's shooting off his pistols and shotguns and things later on. He, in the prologue, is with a girl, Lessie, and they're tracking down some, villain. They meet him, and unfortunately, in the scuffle of it all, Max ends up trying to shoot the bad guy and ends up shooting Lessie.
Yeah.
And clearly that's going to haunt him, as we see right away in chapters 1 and 2. That's kind of the prologue. The start of the story is we've got gunslinging Wax ready to take down the bad guys, but unfortunately kills his lady. Chapter 1, we get into Elendel, this grand city of Elendel. Apparently there's 5 million people living in Elendel. There's skyscrapers, there's trains, there's lots of stuff. I'm still having a little bit of a hard time mentally picturing on Scadrial. And let's see, Wax dons his mist coat and heads out into the mist to climb the skyscraper and float around and kind of do the Mistborn thing, even though he's clearly, at least stated, not a Mistborn. He's a Twinborn. He has 1 allomantic power and 1 ferrochemical power. We later meet his buddy cop, his duo, his other Wayne. Seems like quite the comic character. Wax is Lord of House Adrian and needs a wife. So he has a meeting with a potential wife, and Wayne butts in to help with the conversation and spins off some disguises and accents and plays the roles. So I think Wayne's going to be quite the character. And that's kind of as far as we get, as Wax has that conversation with his potential wife. And I guess we learned about some train robberies. There's some people out there doing some thievery. And Wax and Wayne are going to go and investigate that.
Sounds good. Paul, which one would you like to talk about first? There's a lot here.
I was going to say, I want to talk about the prologue.
Okay.
I want to talk about the prologue. So this is like the, I don't know how this story will be fully laid out, but my assumption right now is this is the Wex, like our protagonist's flashback. The important details in his past, the details in the past that we need to know for his character, what haunts him. What he's thinking about, like the weight of what he had, you know, it was a brief but very good. Well, the chapter itself wasn't necessarily brief, but if it is like the scope of his flashback, if you will, I have no idea. I'm sure we'll find out more later on, at least in the full series. But this book is on the shorter side, so I imagine it's like this is setting the scene for what we need to know about Wax. I'm moving on, and it was. I mean, that was a very sad start. That was a very sad start because it's his you know, partner in crime in the, like, romantic sense. Like it wasn't just a, like, his buddy, like, his best friend, cop. Like, his, like, counterpart, you know?
Yep.
In his, like, service, which I'm not entirely sure what it is. I assume just, like, kind of police service or, like... what's the term for it?
A lawman.
Yes. Like a Batman. I don't know if he's like I can't think of the word for it.
Vigilante?
Vigilante, yes. That's what I was looking for. I don't know if that's exactly what it is or if he's like a sheriff or what. But if he's the sheriff, then this girl's his deputy or maybe vice versa. She seems to have her stuff all together. But it was a very sad start. And I just wanted to point that out of... The other chapters don't feel like it's going to necessarily carry that tone exactly. It doesn't feel like it's overall as dark of a setting. It's not as dark of a setting as Mistborn Era 1. But it starts off with a very somber, depressing note. And I think that's just to set the tone.
Creepy as well, right? He used to creep through like a funnel of dead people.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, it's setting quite a tone for Wax. Also, side note, his name is what? What was it? Waxillium?
Waxillium, yes.
Yes, Waxillium.
Should we do a spell check for you? Do you want to try to spell that? Go ahead.
I will. I think I know it. I think it's literally like William, but without the W and just put Wax in there. So I think it's Wax, W-A-X... I-L-L-I-A-M. That's my assumption.
Would you like to correct him?
You. It's Waxillium. I'm trying to think of a word to compare the two. It's U-M
like
at the end.
Like an I-U-M
yeah.
At the end. Waxillium. Okay. That's fine. Cool enough. Anyways. My point is that this has a very sad start, which sets an interesting tone for us following Wax's character. And I'm curious to know what you all think. It sets an interesting tone of kind of like anything could happen. We don't have plot armor here, you know, and an interesting scene for our main character, you know, and... Right now, we've got two chapters past that, so I can't say much definitively at all. But I was like, I feel like that is quite a really engaging. But that was quite the abrupt start to this series, you know.
The prologue felt like Mistborn. It had, you know, some of those, okay, there's a body that's been mummified and taped to the wall. All right. But I didn't quite get too bogged down in that. I was ready for this to take more of a like detective type of spin.
So we get a little bit of it in the prologue and then more of it in chapter one and more of it in chapter two. Let's talk about the allomancy of Scadrial at the moment. So Wax mentions in chapter one that I'm not a Mistborn of old. I like those are mythological creatures, you know. I have I'm twinborn. I have one allomantic power and one ferrochemical power. So he says like that's exceptional. Like that's not common. That's the best you can be is one of each, an allomantic power and a ferrochemical power. So he's a coin shot, which we've seen before. That one's pretty self-explanatory. And then he is what they call a skimmer. He can change his weight up and down, like we've seen Seiza do a couple times in Mistborn Era 1. But that's the only ferrochemical power he has. So he uses that to some interesting effect in Chapter 1. Elliot, we're going to be referencing our physics. You weren't a physics major, were you? You were an engineering major?
Engineering, but I very much loved all the physics and math classes that I took.
It's going to be a reoccurring theme here, where he decreases his weight, jumps up, and then uses his shotgun as a vector, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah.
It's a rocket. You're pointing it the opposite way you want to go, pushing a small mass really fast that way to push your larger mass slightly slower the other way.
But he's a ferrochemist, so he actually decreases his weight to make it more effective. So he shoots this way and launches himself that way and then increases his weight to land on the building. It's pretty cool.
We might actually have to go bust out a couple rocket equations and do some calculations on just how far you might be able to shoot yourself if you could decrease your mass by some amount. That might actually be pretty fun.
Yes.
It is kind of a silly mental image, though.
Yes.
I like the physics. I like the physics of shooting a shotgun to propel yourself through the air. I'm a little worried about the civilians we just pointed the shotgun towards.
It specifically says that, though. He's like, he's got a blank shot in it, or that's bird shot, or whatever it's called.
Yeah. You're still pointing explosives in the direction of peaceful people. Like, it's probably fine. But then, to then go, like, bouncing through the air, your shotgun blast. I mean, it feels like a cartoon. Like, the character, you know, pulls out the shotgun, is like, and flies the other direction. Like, that's Wax right now.
I was gonna say, is what I can't get out of my head is the mental image of his weight shifting. Is it like, is he losing mass, or is his mass just like less dense? How does he weigh less? How does he weigh more? Like, is he just becoming more dense, like more weighty to his standard size, or does he lose? My understanding is he shouldn't lose or gain size, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't actually know.
So to answer your question, his volume is not changing. He would still displace the same amount of water, but his weight is changing. Right? Okay. So he can do some funky things with that because he's still the same size, but then he's weighs less. So he's still going to fall at relatively the same rate, right? Because weight doesn't have that much to do with, like, with the speed of gravity, right?
Gravitational pull, yeah.
But anything that happens to him in the air will affect him more because he's basically turning himself into a sail because his body is still the same shape, but he's lighter so that it does more effect to him. Does that make sense?
That,
yes. Yeah. That was just that my question of, like, does he physically grow or shrink?
No.
I guess was my one question.
It's actually a fascinating question. I wonder if Brandon's been asked this. The question being, I think he either has to be doing one of two things if we want to get scientific about it. He's either changing his density and therefore his actual mass. His volume stays the same, like you said, but he's changing his density, so therefore his actual mass is smaller. Or he's doing something more akin to a Zeth lashing, where he's affecting gravity. He's lessening pull of gravity and therefore his weight on himself. He's still the same mass. He's still the same volume. He's just getting pulled down less by whatever he's standing on.
This one's a Raffo, because they ask Wax that specific question.
Excellent.
He puts it in the book. Not only has he been asked it, he puts it in the book.
Nice. All right.
That's cool. Get to look forward to that. Continuing with our theme of Mistborn actually answering our questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we read.
Yeah.
Alrighty. In the prologue and in chapter one, we see Wax use a steel bubble where he describes it as, I'm pushing in all directions at once so as to divert bullets. Which, first of all, I think is a fascinating use of allomancy. Nice job, Brandon. Second of all, what? Like, isn't the point of allomancy where you push on steel or push on metal? How can you just, like, bubble? That doesn't make any sense. Or does it?
I struggled a tiny bit, too, because I'm trying to take what I just learned in Era 1 and apply it to... I'm thinking back to my Kelsier lessons that I got as Vin was learning how to fall off buildings. And yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, no, you have to have, you know, blue lines. You have to have the blue line to something to push on the thing. But I think I processed it as more of a, he's like straining. It's like you trying to push on the air. You're like straining, you're ready to push. And then as soon as there is the thing, you're already kind of pushing. So you just instantly hit it and it pushes like a tiny bit.
That's a fair point. I was struggling with this too, because I'm like, I feel like the only thing we have that, and I don't think this is fully comparable, but like, think of like a copper, I think of a copper cloud. I don't know if we have a great description of how a copper cloud works or how it's emitted or what. I don't know if I fully know that, the specifics of it. But I'm like, that's the only one that only allomantic power I feel like that we've seen that involves some form of like just general thing, I guess. Like this is all very tentative. If it's like he's ready in case anything enters this perimeter around him, to push it out.
Yeah,
like a shield. I don't know. I feel like we definitely haven't seen anything like this, I think. I mentioned a copper cloud just because it's like an area of effect, I guess. But really, that's not even that relevant. I don't know.
I'm fine with like accepting that that's something that Wax can do. I'm not like super hung up on it, but I was a little confused. But at the same time, I think that's kind of cool, like, mechanic where you have an existing magic system, as Brandon Sanderson, that you've fully fleshed out in Mistborn Era 1. So then now you intro guns to it, and so then he's like, okay, what can I do with this? This is really cool. How can I push bullets around with steel pushing? So we get to, you know, figure that out. And he's using spent bullet casings to climb the tower. So he like specifically goes and picks up his spent bullet casings as like anchors.
You know what I want to see? I bet it's actually going to be more interesting when we see iron puller start to work in a bullet.
Yeah.
Think about that. Wax is a little more defensive. He can push bullets away. What if he can pull bullets? Maybe you can work with somebody, have them shoot a bullet, and you go like pull it around a corner.
Bend it around a corner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could do some fancy things with bullets if you got somebody pulling them.
Yeah.
I was thinking similarly of like what other allomantic powers could this idea be applied to? It's a great idea.
Last thing on the prologue, our antagonist or our criminal thug guy who they're tracking down, Bloody Tan, he makes a couple references to "I've seen death with the spikes in his eyes," or I've met the survivor." Did you guys enjoy our Mistborn Era 1 references there?
I noticed them immediately. But then when I read it again, I'm not quite sure exactly what he's saying.
Okay.
He references a few things, but you could interpret it in different ways, actually. Here's what he said. "I have seen God, Lawkeeper," Tan whispered. "Where was he?" I think that was Wax's like thought interjected there. "I have seen death himself. Nails in his eyes. I have seen the survivor." Like, break that down for a second. Is this two different people? Death with nails in his eyes and the survivor who is life? Or is this all the same thing? Death is capitalized. Life is not.
Oh.
I could see an interpretation where he's talking about the same person in like a weird philosophical crazy person way of death, the survivor, and nails in his eyes are all the same thing. Which we know the survivor is Excelsior, unless there's some kind of a mythology that has evolved and maybe there's
Yeah, well, hold on a second. Who else is the survivor?
Oops. I guess true, we have a new survivor by the end of Hero of Ages, right?
Mm-hmm. Survivor of the Flames. Yeah. So there's actually two that could take that title.
True. And when last we left Kelsier, he didn't have any nails in his eyes. But,
yeah.
Based on information that we have in pre-released Stormlight material, maybe that's no longer true.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And he...
So.
After Lessie has died, Bloody Tan says, "Someone else moves us, Lawman." And then Wax shoots him in the head. What did he mean by that?
Another weird reference that calls to mind like Ruin and Marsh.
Yeah.
You know, think about that.
Uh-huh.
The hemallergy, if I've got a spike in you, I can take full control of you at in some instances. Someone else moves us.
Yeah.
He makes one more weird statement. I wanted to bounce off of you guys. Maybe I'm just crazy. The very last thing that Bloody Tan says is, "The best performances are those that can only be performed once." It's like a dark, sadistic reference to like killing is a certain word or something like that. For some strange reason, we heard that before. Am I just crazy? For some reason, that rang a bell with me. Like we've met a Cosmere character who says something to that effect before.
Not anything that comes to mind, but I'd believe it.
Like I spent a solid 10 minutes trying to rack my brain to think of who it would be. I can't think of it, so maybe I'm just imagining this. But it, for some reason, sounds familiar.
Maybe like, my brain wants to say like Marais or something. But
yeah, like a darker character somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe. Weird.
But yes, rather. Strange character. Also, one more thing to tack onto that. On the Kelsier line, we just finished reading Mistborn's Secret History, in which we saw Kelsier in the cognitive realm talk to people in the physical realm who are crazy.
Yes.
This dude here, he done definitely be crazy.
Yes.
Like certifiable crazy. So he says, like, I've spoken to death. I've seen the survivor. I'm about ready to believe him, even though he's crazy.
Yeah.
Also, he has done exactly that to other crazy people.
So, but then that begs the question that we were asking in Secret History is, does crazy mean metal, spiked? Right. Are those the same thing, or are they not the same thing? So yeah, does that mean that he had a spike in him, somebody else moves us? But then it would be, as far as we know, it would be Sazed, or as they call him in these chapters, Harmony. Which actually, Paul, you used the term Harmony at the end of Mistborn Era 1. I don't know if you intended that, but that is his official title moving forward. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're like, and Preservation and Ruin are now in Harmony. And I was like, that's a really interesting phrase you just used. Did you know the term Harmony or not?
I did not. But this was the number one thing I wanted to ask about. Like, probably my biggest observation of these chapters. Of all the expressions are Harmony.
Yeah.
There is mention of Ruin, I noticed. They say, what, Rust and Ruin.
They use it as a swear.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard mention of Preservation, but I could believe that Ruin isn't really a term of Shard like before, but now it's Harmony of Sazed. And it brings up several questions in my mind. But anyways, I didn't, to answer your question, I did not know that this is Harmony. I was kind of a lucky guess, I guess. But so my question here is, is Sazed, like, is this one, like we had talked before of, is Ruin and Preservation, are they two pieces of one shard, or are they two shards? And now this has me thinking, was it just one shard, or does, which also, I mean, there's still the magic systems for both, I guess, right? That you can be an Allomancer and not a Ferrochemist or the others. Like, you can have one but not the other, you know, you can also have both. I don't know, that's my biggest question. I'm like, is Harmony just the nickname, if you will, for like, it's both Ruin and Preservation, and they are together again. Yeah, how sweet. I'm confused on the specifics here. I don't know if that's something I should be worrying about at this point in our story. But now that I've read all the rest of Cosmere, of course this is what I'm worried about in chapter one of our story, you know.
I won't give you a definite yes or no, but I will say that there is an answer. How many other terms do we recognize? We get a lot of, maybe too many, like Mistborn Era 1 names just like smashed into chapter 1 specifically. How many do we have?
Skimming through my notes, I grabbed 5, all like names of people or houses that we encountered in Era 1. So there was Set, remember that guy. Tekiel, isn't that the house that like Kelsier robbed at the very beginning of of Mistborn?
It's one of the houses in Luthadel. They say Tekiel in in Era 1, and then Tekiel is one of the octants in Elendil here, creating one of the, like the big skyscrapers right next to the other rival skyscraper.
Yeah. The Mu, there's a at least like place thing named after Mu.
Yeah.
A street, promenade.
Yeah.
Yeoman?
Catch that.
Yeoman is apparently getting married. I'm assuming it's not the same Yeoman as before, otherwise he'd be really, really old. And then Wax is also Lord Ladrian. And that's pretty cool. And this one, I actually had to look this up, and like I went and flipped back through the book a little bit, because I was like, Ladrian, where have we heard that? And then it struck me, Breeze. Breeze Ladrian was a character from our previous book.
Yep. Wax is a direct descendant from Breeze. You are correct. It took me till book two to figure that one out when they tell you.
I was gonna say good catch on that. I did not remember. The name sounded vaguely familiar, but I could not have told you definitively that they're one of our characters before had the name Ladrian.
We also get Vin going down in mythology or history as the Ascendant Warrior. That is her title. So I thought that was pretty cool. Good title for Vin.
Epic.
While we're on the topic of these terms and such, this is later, and I want to talk about this scene in chapter two more later. But there's mention of the different religions a little bit.
Yep.
And there's survivorist, which was easy for me to point to. I'm like, Church of the Survivor. It's just how it is now, you know. And you follow the path.
A Pathian.
Pathist.
Yep.
Pathian. Yeah. What is that? I had no idea what that is.
So, you don't get it spelled out for you, but I'll give you just a quick definition. It's where you directly worship or follow harmony. So, The survivorists are the Church of the Survivor. Their number one is going to be Kelsier, or maybe Spook, but or both. And then there's the Pathians who are focusing on harmony.
Okay. That's cool.
And the one clue we do get in chapter two is in that conversation where they're like, oh, you follow the path. One religion where the god prohibits worshiping him.
Yes.
I didn't quite know what path meant, but I did think of Sazed. I was like, that is a thing that Sazed would do. He would totally make that a tenet of religion. Is fine, I'll be your god, but you better not worship me.
Right.
I didn't think of that, but you're so right. That's hilarious.
Wayne or Steris, or both? Who do we want to talk about?
Let's talk about Wayne.
Yeah.
He comes in chapter two, right?
Yes.
When we actually meet him, I think he maybe mentioned before that.
Lessie mentions him in the prologue, and then we meet him in chapter two. We get mentioned that he can heal himself with his ferrochemie and can burn bend alloy, which sounds completely fake, by the way, to create a speed bubble, a time dilation around himself where he can react faster than everyone else can. But Elliot, in the outline here, you say bend alloy is a real thing. I don't believe you. What is bend alloy?
I have learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson in Mistborn. There's been multiple things throughout Mistborn Era 1 where I'm like, oh, that's a cool term. Great job, creative Brandon, for coming up with that. Like even simple stuff like limelights was one of them. And then the names of these metals multiple times has been a real thing. I think A-team, I'm not sure on, but what was the other like A-team? Electrium or something like
Electrum
that?
Electrum is the gold Electrum. Alloy. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. I looked that up. That is a alloy of gold. So as soon as I read it, I was like, that sounds fake. But I bet it's not. Google search, it is a real thing. Bend alloy is a commercially available alloy of multiple metals. And of course it gets me curious because now I'm thinking, okay, this is Allomancy, but this seems like a new metal. It's mentioned, bend alloy seems like an alloy, but an alloy of what? I know my Allomancy, it needs to be paired with another element. And my Google search told me that bend alloy is a alloy of bismuth, lead, tin, and cadmium. So okay. If Brandon is using that as his template, which he probably is, and tends to like to do that kind of thing. I'm gonna now lean into like, okay, well, tin already exists in this world. It's also a smaller percentage in the mix. Bismuth and lead are the two biggest bits of bend alloy. So I bet it's one of those two.
And that would, if it were one of those two, that would add to our table, correct?
Huh?
Yep.
I think it would. I think we've seen bismuth or lead, although perhaps it wasn't. I think we're talking about new allomantic metals on the wheel.
Sounds good.
We should talk about the speed bubble itself for a second.
Yes.
Because that was a bit crazy. I wasn't ready for that magical power. I'm going to stop time for a second, and we're gonna have a chat. Although it's not really stopping time. It definitely seemed like a cool power. Definitely is going to have a lot of uses.
Well, and specifically tied into his other ability, right? So he could slow down time for everyone else, kind of. He can speed up time for himself, and then take time to heal himself with his Ferrochemie, and then continue to move, right?
I think so, yeah.
So what we've saw Seiza do, and I think Inquisitors do, is it takes them a second to like heal the wound that you just inflicted on them. But with Wayne, you could create a speed bubble, heal whatever gunshot you just took, and then keep moving, right?
I did have a question for you guys, because the way it's phrased in my copy
confused me.
Seems backwards. Here's the description of the time bubble. For those inside the bubble, time would flow much more quickly than for those outside. That doesn't make sense to me. Shouldn't it be more slowly? You're slowing down time in your bubble so that you can do more stuff.
Right.
And then you pop out and less than what's happened afterwards. But that, am I overthinking it?
You are. For those outside the bubble, time will move normal. But for those inside the bubble, you're going to use those moments.
Moving at like super speed, if you will.
Right. So if you're
moving quicker.
If you're looking at the bubble from the outside, they're going to be moving very fast.
Right.
Right. So for those inside, I guess it is phrased a little weird, because for those inside, time's not going to change. And it's just going to look like everything else is slowing down.
Yeah.
So I guess it maybe is phrased a little weird. Just I guess it just depends on from whose perspective you want to describe it.
Yeah. I would have probably tried to describe that as Wayne moves faster, and therefore kind of from that perspective, time is moving slower for him, where the text says time in the bubble is flowing much more quickly. But maybe I'm overanalyzing it, and it's... The effects of what's happening, I think, are pretty clear.
Does it mention gunshots in that paragraph?
Shooting out of a bubble? They go on to say that, yeah, you can't shoot out of the bubble because when it passes the barrier, it goes all wonky, so you have no idea where your bullet's going to go.
Right, so if you get jumped by a bunch of people, you can't bubble yourself, shoot them all, and then drop your bubble. Like
That felt slightly like a plot hole fix.
Yes.
Where like somebody, yeah. One of his alpha readers was like, hold on a second, can we just time bubble all the time and shoot all the bad guys before they shoot us? And Brennan was like, nope, can't do that, and here's why.
Yes, it does feel like that to me too. Okay, two more things. Staris shows up with her father, and she's interesting. She draws up a contract for their maybe-to-be marriage with Wax. She's very matter-of-fact about everything. And they talk about survivors versus pathists, or pathians, as Paul, you were saying. And then, so it seems like we're going to have like an arranged marriage showing up. But then also to throw in the wrench here, there's like a burglary. I hate that word. There's robberies happening. And it's a trend, so that there's a gang that's shown up in and around Ellendale, and that piques Wax's interest. Even though in the previous chapter he like ceremoniously puts his guns away, he's like, "No, I need to be Lord Ladrian." Yeah, that's, come on, you're not fooling nobody. So there's this like organized crime showing up that Wayne and Stannis tell him about it. So Wax is interested. So where's this going? Any predictions for the Alloy of Law or Mistborn Era 2 in general, gentlemen?
Oh, I wanna present a question, if you will, of a more specific prediction. One thing I want to touch on more, actually, in this chapter 2, it's Wax is being, like, set up to marry this girl. I don't actually remember her name.
Stannis.
Whoops. Sorry about that, Stannis. Kind of an a political marriage. It's for the betterment of their two houses type of thing. But, you know, this is the first time they've met. And it was an interesting thing that kind of threw me off guard of them meeting. She was very transactional with everything. Here's a contract I have written up and ready. Do we think that they're going to actually, you know, reading into it, I feel like Wax is open to getting to know this person a bit, asks, you know, tell me about yourself, what do you like doing with your time and things like that. And she's remained very transactional of like, you know, we're doing this for political stuff. You can, it's even written into the contract that they may have mistresses, etc. All this stuff. Do we think that there's going to be an element to this story where an actual relationship is developed, actual like affiliation and attraction for one another, or is this just going to be a weird, maybe they're not even going to get married. I have no idea where this story is going. But that was my question. I mean, because we ended on chapter 2 this week, I was like, I feel like whenever a story would start like this, it sounds like the weird arranged marriage, but then they end up coming around to it, actually liking each other type of thing. I don't know. Maybe this is Warbreaker esque. I don't know. But that while I want to talk about predictions for this book, that was like the pressing one that I was wanting to ask y'all of, like, what's going to happen with these two? Are they going to actually like each other? Is this going to absolve and something else is going to come up? You know, where are we at?
I don't think I like her off the bat. She's, yeah, very, very transactional, very stiff, very matter of fact, no humor, no pleasantries. Let's get to business. And, oh, yes, of course I scheduled in romance. Page 13, please flip there. Okay. I'm with Wayne. Wayne had some not so nice things to say about her. That's kind of where I am too. I almost feel bad for Wax going into this. He's going to be, I'm scared of being locked down with the tyrant.
Tyrant. Good term for Stannis moving into era 2. Somebody put that down in the quotes. We'll refer to that later. What else? Where's our Chondra? Where's our Hemalurgy? Where's the last two medals? Did we find one or did we not? Where's our bold predictions for her too?
Hemalurgy is a fantastic question. Where is the Hemalurgy? Is it no? It seems like Allomancy and Ferrochemy are now popularly known. In Era 1, Hemalurgy was kind of the secret. Is it still the secret? Enough characters coming out of Era 1 had learned about it that it was going to become common knowledge.
Or did Harmony like purposely suppress it? Or
oh, maybe.
You know?
So don't we have mention of the Koloss at the start here?
Yes.
Or am I imagining that?
A Koloss camp had like ruined the town that they, destroyed like the ghost town that they were in. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. So, at least somewhat recently, there's still Koloss, right?
Okay, like, yep.
Like, Koloss are still around. So, that means Hemalurgy in some way, shape, or form has to be around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand like, that logic.
Like, so in some way, shape, or form, it's there. I don't know if it's the same. I imagine there's not, like, Inquisitors. My assumption is that has kind of died off. I could be wrong on that. I could be Beth very wrong.
Apparently has nails in his eyes, so...
That's fair. Fair.
I want to throw an example or an idea out for you guys in the vein of prediction. Think about what we know of hemallergy. It requires a spike of metal entering your body after killing someone.
Yep.
How easy would that be to do with a bullet?
Yeah.
Shoot it through somebody, embed it in the person behind them. You now have a little chunk of metal in the person. I almost feel like we got all kinds of accidental hemallergy going to happen all over the place.
Elliot's got his thinking cap on. He's too smart for this.
I was thinking about I'm honestly, my biggest thing I'm trying to wrap my head around is how are guns going to work in this story? This is the brand new territory. We've read a lot of Brandon Sanderson now, but we've never read with much guns, you know, and like this pseudo-modern
and
situation.
Think about this too, like in the scene in chapter 2, Wayne gives Wax an aluminum bullet. It's supposed to be a big deal. Oh, you have aluminum. That's super rare. Expensive. Where'd you get this? Oh, it came from the burglars who robbed the theater or whatever it was. Maybe we're gonna come across people who have an arsenal of all kinds of different metal bullets and all the things they're gonna be able to do with either hemallergy or ferrochemie, even. Like, think about this. There was a scene in Era One where, oh man, this is going back. Well of Ascension, help me.
End of
Phased.
Oh,
maybe is not. Fighting Marsh.
Well of Ascension.
Marsh embeds Phased's metal mines in his stomach. Or like in his bag. Marsh like shoots the bag at him. Metal embeds in him. Phased then is able to draw on the ferrochemy from the metal mines because they got embedded in his body.
Yep.
Bullets. Bullets is. So you can, we're going to have ferrochemie and hemallergy flying all over the place.
You can shoot your pal with a bullet to heal him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say.
Overwatch 2 action happening here.
Yeah. I was going to say, so the interesting thing to me is it seems like if there was an Era 1 Inquisitor, as we know them, like Inquisitor with the full Mistborn-ish range of power, dropped in right next to Wax or whoever worthy is now. Isn't there a bit of a power imbalance because there's no longer Mistborn?
Yeah.
Right? There's no one with all the Allomantic powers, but
that's a big assumption.
Is hemallergy that is true. That is a big assumption. That's what we've been told right now is that there's no more Mistborn. That could very well change.
Yeah.
But let's operate under there are no Mistborn, no one who can use all the Allomantic powers. Isn't hemallergy the like one way kind of around that, the magic system to get access to all those powers?
So as
by hemallergy, right?
Yes. So as Elliot was talking about bullets and hemallergy, what if you like had your buddy cop intentionally stand in behind the criminal you knew was a lurcher, you shoot the lurcher, and then you ferrochemi or your
hemallurge.
You hemallurge your buddy, right? Yeah. You like intentionally.
Yeah, there we go.
There's some wacky stuff that's about to happen.
You could, couldn't you just pick up the bullet afterward? Like you wouldn't have to plan it that deliberately, right?
But you have to
the
like
bullet went through. Does that work? Or it's like maybe less effective. I think that was the thing. Is like the
there
time frame. Yep. Right, yeah, it's all about like time frames, so it's better to be right away. But yeah. Anyways, that's something I'll have to think about. I'm too trusting. I'm like, yeah, there's no Mistborn. That's gonna be interesting. You make a great point, Elliot. I don't shouldn't believe
Elliot,
that.
Elliot was not convinced for a second.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm gonna predict it right now. They're absolutely 100%.
So. Just to kind of wrap that thought up, do you remember right at the end of the Hero of Ages? Who's our last Mistborn?
Spook.
Yeah. And didn't we well establish that Allomancy is word passed down to your children.
Hereditary or thank genetic. You.
Genetic. So okay. There could absolutely be Mistborn from at least Spook's line, if not, you know, other people. So okay. Good start to Mistborn Era 1. I'm very excited to continue through this, gentlemen. Anything else before we get to a Stormlight review?
You said Mistborn Era 1. I'd like to correct you.
Okay.
Say this is a good start to Mistborn Era 2.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying it. Okay. Let's read and find out more.
Next week we will be covering, if you guys are reading along with us, chapters 3 all the way to 9 we will be covering next week. So there's no parts in this book. They'll just... Chapters 3 to 9. We will see you next week. Let's do a Stormlight refresher. Elliot, you're going to lead. You are leading 6 to 5. Paul, you are within a point since the first time since week 1.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm slipping.
Elliot, you're going to lead. Chapter name, give me a summary of what happens in the chapter from Stormlight. Justice.
Did you already ask this one? Adolin stabs Sadeus in the eye.
Incorrect. I did not ask this. Paul?
That was revenge or something. I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. My guess is, so Justice, I'm thinking of Nail as a character. I think it's one of the chapters where Nail is with Zeth and while Zeth is going through the whole becoming a Skybreaker thing. I'm trying to think of more further specifics potentially, but I think this is a Nail and Zeth chapter.
Incorrect. Okay. This is arguably the best scene ever written in fantasy. Dalinar surrenders his Shardblade to Sadeus to trade for Bridge 4, and Navani has written on the ground a justice glyph in prayer for Dalinar's life, and he returns, gives up Oathbringer in trade for Bridge 4 at the end of The Way of Kings.
Iconic.
Paul, your quote ID, please tell me who's talking. I've known men who practiced for hours and hours, yet still froze when confronted by a real wounded person. It's harder when it takes you by surprise. You didn't freeze. You did well. I'm proud.
I believe that, and this is another one I feel bad, I can't remember the name, but I'll remember it right after this. This is Kaladin's dad to Kaladin in a Kaladin flashback.
You're correct.
I feel guilty I can't remember his name. I'm even just started rereading. And just
Elliot, what's his name?
Seeing him again.
Liren,
yeah.
Would you have gotten that correct?
Yes.
All right. 1-0 to Paul. Elliot, here is your review. Please tell me what they rated and what book they rated. Storm it, Goncho. It's good to finally have some new Stormlight material. It's been a whole week since I last held a Sanderson book in my filthy Lowlander mitts, and was starting to get the shakes like Teft after a couple days without Fire Moss. This is Sanderson at his worst, in my opinion, but still solid enough. The last 20 to 25% was good.
They're getting character for that one. Oh, okay, so state some obvious. It's back half Stormlight, back half of what we have, clearly, because he references some knowledge you don't even have in Way of Kings. So let's go worst, huh? I think I know some of the general reactions out there to various books, so I can maybe try and play some percentages. This is Rhythm of War. And they rated it a 3 out of 5.
All right, Paul?
I also definitely think this is Rhythm of War. The comment about Fire Moss, I'm like, that may not be until Rhythm of War or Oathbringer or something. So it's absolutely far in. And the way he talks about it being exciting on the last 20 to 25%, absolutely think makes me think of Rhythm of War. I'm struggling with the rating. At the start, I thought this was a glowing 5 out of 5 stars, but then he said it's his like least favorite.
But is it a backhanded compliment?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is it his least favorite so it's still a 5 out of 5, or is it his least favorite and it's a 4 out of 5, a 2, 3?
What did Elliot say? 3 out of 5 for Rhythm of War?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely sticking with Rhythm of War. I think I'm going to switch it up on the rating. I think he still absolutely loved the book. And so I think this is a 4 out of 5.
This is a 3 out of 5 for Dawn Shard.
What?
Wow. I even thought about it, but I guess that last time. And I was like, I can only guess in a not super main one so often.
See,
his mention of Goncho made me think of Dawn Shard.
Yeah. There's clues in these 20% that I
picked. The last 20% of Dawn Shard is like 10 pages.
That's fair. I agree. I was thinking the exact same thing, Elliot.
Alrighty. Okay. It is 1-1. Moving into our final trivia question, I believe Paul gets this first. Paul, surge binding is the term for the power that is accessed through the bond between human and Spren, with pairs of surges combining to recreate the 10 different orders. What two surges does Kaladin have access to?
I'm going to not verbally process this one in case I don't get it right.
It's the ones that are similar that are going to mess with me.
I'm questioning if my second word is the correct word, but I think I'll go ahead and go with it. His two surges for Kaladin, a Windrunner, are adhesion.
Okay.
And levitation.
Okay. Elliot, I will give you a chance to answer this.
I'm hoping you're going to be picky, and I'm hoping that I have a slight difference from Paul that might nick the right answer. I also would say adhesion, although that's the one I'm actually less confident about, because there's also like cohesion and lesser whatever. My answer is adhesion.
Okay.
The second one, I believe, is gravitation.
And Elliot nicks it with on a technicality.
That's good.
Let's go!
Adhesion and gravitation. Close, Paul. Close. That one was...
That was a good question.
That one is devastating because the point could have gone either way. And it goes to Elliot for 7-5. Congratulations, Elliot.
That was a good one.
That was close. Very, very close.
Alrighty, let's reconvene next week with more Alloy of Law. Thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot.
See ya.
Farewell.